Here we go. We're back with another weekly helping of Mint Sauce Chronicles. I hope everyone's in good health. And I'm going to say it again because I still get emails. I still get them. I still get one yesterday saying somebody were locked out. I pointed out that you can't see the full podcast on Podomatic, Rumble, YouTube, or anywhere else apart from sheepfam.co.uk. I didn't even get an email back. Didn't get an email back.
What do you want? Thanks.
No, I don't want.
Someone put on YouTube that they like your intro saying that.
Right.
I find it funny.
Yeah. Some people said, I'm surprised you still got patience. It is quite a.
You haven't actually got any patience.
No, I've got a lot of patience, mate. I'm quite a patient guy, to be honest with you. But I must have to put it with you.
That's true. I will not deny that.
Yeah. I'm going to say it again. The format is simple. We release 4 shows a month. Members get full access via sheepfan.co.uk and the ability to download the podcast as well. You can't do that at Podomatic, Audible, Amazon, Apple, Rumble, or Odyssey. You only get the first part. It might be an hour, might be an hour and a half, whatever the first part is. It's all you get. Unless it's a show like The Huxleys, we'll just release them carte blanche to everybody. It's fair enough. All new shows are released on Saturdays. If you want, you can sign up. And you'll get a reminder, an email saying we've released a new show. Just sign up to the website. It doesn't cost anything. If you want to become a member, you can become a member. It's easy enough to do if that's what you want to do. And that's it, really. That's it. Simple. I'm going to forecast. Thanks for your email telling me you can't find the full show because you're trying on Podomatic and it won't let you in. So I've just forecast that one with my crystal ball. Somebody's going to email me. I can feel it. I can see it in my tea leaves.
Feel in your left ball.
Yeah.
And your one ball.
Yeah. It's better than Sam Smith touching it. Right. Where do we start? Thanks for all the comments on YouTube. I released another Matrix. People ask me, where do the Matrixes go? Into the Matrix they go. No, they don't. I turn them off after about a week on YouTube. It's pointless leaving them on there. But they all go to Odyssey. They're on Odyssey. So if you want to see the Matrix videos, it's a bit pointless me saying that probably because people still email me. Where are they? But there they are. They're on there. You get some DMs, don't you, Chris? Loads of DMs, direct messages.
You love saying that because I always forget what it means. I get DMs on Instagram, And emails as well.
Right.
Personal ones.
I don't get any DMs. I'm quite pleased.
Sold a few sheep farm sculptures on my gaping gob shop on Etsy.
Right.
A few cocks and bottle openers. Thanks for anyone who purchases.
Bottle openers.
Yeah. Right. I've been working all week in a kitchen. I haven't done that for a while. Like full-time work in the kitchen. And I'm absolutely goosed. And now I've got a pile of sculptures to post out tomorrow. Right. Missus is away with the child on a cruise with her mum and dad.
Right.
She said it's like a floating harvester.
I don't know a harvester, Walkeris. You said Witherspoons. I sort of like, I know what it is.
No, to be fair, my missus, she doesn't really like boats. And she's cooped up in a cabin on a boat. Right. But then they moored up in Norway to look at whatever.
Northern Lights.
She said it's stunning, yeah.
Right. Well, at least she's getting something out of it.
Yeah, it was just the actual being stuck on a boat for 2 days. She weren't too keen on.
Right. Somebody actually emailed earlier on, said they drink Governor.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's nice. It's different.
Yeah, but you drink that much of it, you won't know it's any different.
Fruity and dark.
Yeah, you haven't even got your taste buds have been burnt off.
Yeah, I probably haven't got any left anymore.
No.
Yeah. I've got a bottle of Syrah tonight. I don't even know what that says. We're on special offer in Waitrose.
Witch piss, Chris. That's what it is.
Witch's piss.
Do you know where that phrase comes from?
Piss from a witch.
Do you know where that phrase comes from? I used to make my dad a drink. Make me drink a tea, young'un. So I'd come out of the field, come in and make him a drink. Yeah. How long you left teabagging that? It's like witch piss.
Yeah, I remember.
That's where that came from.
Yeah. I remember that time he was working under his car and I was somewhere else and you brought him a cup of tea and you're quite clumsy. And I heard him go, fuck's sake, you spilled it out, you dropped it on him. Stupid bastard. I was somewhere else, I heard you go, brought you a pot of tea, then I heard,
Thanks for bringing me a pot of tea, kid.
Yeah.
Thanks for everybody who's ordering supplements at Health Bunker Shop. It's keeping me and my missus busy. I thought I'd retired and just wanted to do research. But yeah, the vitamin C powder in stock. I think the Parasite Cleanse ones are back in stock. There's another Parasite one coming on online very soon. Parasite Paradox 1 and Paradox 2. Very good for clearing out parasites. Yeah, there's a few more stuff coming online shortly as well. Stop calling me shortly. Same with the promo code. It's always in the description. Use it. You can only use it on my products, the Health Bunker products. There's three other products on there, which are very good. Ultrient Lipsomal Vitamin C, the best Lipsomal you can buy, bar none. All the others are pretenders. This was the original. It's a bit expensive, I know, but it is the best one. There's no doubt about that. I've tried so many different ones. They do a range of other stuff as well, the magnesium and other things. It is quite expensive stuff, to be honest with you. And there's shaft oil margin in it, so I can't give you a discount on it. And we do another one. There's another one on there called SOS Advance, a herbal mix. And you know what? I put these on there. I don't actually make that much on them, but I like them on there because I know what benefit they bring to...
I've had that SOS Advance, haven't I?
Yeah. And they do it in capsules as well now. But my youngest, Theo, he has it more or less every day. For some reason, he likes the taste. Won't eat peas and carrots, but he'll drink that. How's that work?
I quite like the taste of that one. I remember.
Yeah, I do as well. There's something medicinal about it. Very medicinal about it.
It's quite pricey, that one, isn't it?
No, it's not that bad. It's not ridiculous, but it's not. I'm not saying it's cheap, but it's not ridiculous. But you see, if you see what's in it, you'll understand why. It's the Lipsomal stuff's quite pricey. But it is the best one. There's a lot of cheaper ones out there on the market, a lot of different ones. But that is the original. And I'm not just saying that because I sell it. As I say, buy it from somewhere else if you want. It's not a problem to me. I'm happy to pass on the information. I was talking to a guy, actually, where I buy me vitamin. He's a doctor. Two things, actually. One of his mates did... The person that the NHS base their... let me get this right. Cholesterol is the biggest killer, heart disease, etc., right? It was called, I forget the name of the report that was written, that it's all based on.
Right.
But his mate's a doctor, and he unravelled it all. So it was done like a modelling thing.
I never trusted that cholesterol bullshit.
No. But it was done on a modelling basis, like Nobbed Ferguson did.
Ferguson, yeah.
Right, and mad cow disease and swine flu and all that other stuff. And Divock.
So not actual facts, just modelling?
Not actual facts, no. It was done...
The conclusion you want one way or another.
Yeah. So what he did, he found a way, a bit like Norman Fenton does, of deciphering the whole information and using the raw info.
Yeah.
And realised it were the other way around. Having low cholesterol causes heart conditions. And guess what happened to him, Chris? He stopped prescribing statins for a start.
Right.
After he's seen the aftermath of what they did. Stopped prescribing statins. And guess what the NHS did to him?
Struck him off. Bastard.
Yeah, struck him off.
Coming up with his own conclusions, wondering...
How dare a doctor try and save people's lives?
Dirty, rotten bastard.
Yeah, you dirty, rotten bastard. To me,
coming up with your own conclusions.
He's a hero.
These people are heroes,
He's a modern-day hero. He was telling me as well of a guy, and he buys his IV, he sells IV drips, he imports them, right? I buy my drips from him. I've known him a few years now. He used to work really deep in NHS until he realised what was going on. He's from a family of doctors as well, so it's not just him. And anyway, he set up a sideline selling IV products. And one of his clients looks after stage 4 big C patients.
Right.
Giving them 75 grams. We've started doing that type of loading on people that come into the clinic. 75 grams of vitamin C per treatment.
Right.
Right? And his success rate's 80%.
Evil bastard. What, to get right in stage 4? Bloody hell.
Yes. I mean, that...
Yeah. You can't obviously broadcast that, can I?
No.
Mad, isn't it? What world are we living in? You can't broadcast that.
What are we living in? What are we living through? What are we living through? I mean, that's IVs. I'm not saying that's powder or Lipsomal or what have you. They're IVs. And I've said all along, I've noticed a massive change. As soon as you get up, it seems to be as soon as you get up past 20 to 30 grams, changes happen. And if you do it regular, well, like certain chronic stuff start disappearing. I'm on about if you've got chronic things going on, not life or death struggles like what we just mentioned there. Like mine were sinuses, wasn't it? Nosebleeds. This was the aftermath or the lingering issues that I had after my illness, if you like. My sinuses now, my sinuses aren't perfect, but they're nowhere near, right, what I had before. And I very rarely get nosebleeds. I'm getting 2 or 3 a day.
I could be alien abduction.
It could be. I'm getting to the point where I used to carry a bag around with me with a roll of toilet roll in, just in case. That's how regular I had them. And a month into doing for probably about 10 of these drips of 25 grams plus, yeah, they stopped. And I read the box in the insert. The box actually said what the benefits are, and it said one of them was for stopping nosebleeds.
I used to get nosebleeds all the time when I was a kid.
But how mad is that, though? Are people suffering from conditions like that, and they could use vitamin C, which for us is an expensive treatment, but for a conglomerate like, I call them a conglomerate or a corporation like the NHS, they could literally get it for pennies. If they had a decent buying department, honestly.
They don't get anything for pennies, because it's all a big fucking money laundering scheme, isn't it?
Yeah, but even if they didn't, right, even if they didn't get it for pennies, right, and they had to pay what they paid for normal drugs, they've got the staff that are highly trained. Putting a drip in somebody's arms, nothing to a nurse, you know? Putting a bag of saline with some vitamin C in, it's nothing to a nurse. I could make that up. Put them in a phlebotomy course, I could do the IVs. What I'm trying to say is
It's too cheap for the system. You need the radio or whatever treatment.
And too beneficial.
Well, yeah, too beneficial. It could cure you and it costs nothing.
Yeah. And this is where it comes to, do you know, like some people are saying, well, and we've had this conversation with a few, and I understand it. I went through that process where I don't know how we've gone on to this, but we have anyway.
Vitamin C obsession.
In nutrients in general, that all the nutrients are owned by the same people that are running eugenics programs. And a lot of the chemicals or a lot of the scientists were eugenicists. That we look at eugenics as negative, which is obvious because we've seen the damage, but not all of eugenics is negative to humans. We have to accept that because they wouldn't be doing it if everything were negative. They're doing it for a reason. They're not doing it just to kill us off or harm us. They're doing it because they want some of the benefits out of it, don't they? That is the real reason. So if vitamin C or ozone or methylene blue or whatever it is a benefit, they're not going to sell that in a pharmacy or a hospital either. You're not going to go to a doctor and say, yeah, if you take 10 grams of vitamin C, a load of vitamin D3, some vitamin E, yeah, you should go that in a couple of weeks.
Well, it's like the...
It'll cost you a fiver.
It's like the... what is it, fire, isn't it? We saw it actually more blatant over the last four with the ivermectin. Shenanigans, yeah. No one could make any money on it. Cheap drug.
No, it's a generic drug.
Yeah. Can't hurt you. No. So they just slandered it in the press.
Prefer to give kids Ritalin.
They slandered it in the press so no one would have it.
Yeah, said it were a horse wormer.
I mean, we witnessed that live, though, because that was actually on the TV, wasn't it? Where there's the vitamins, C's and D's, whatever.
But we witnessed it, Chris.
Cloaked, aren't they?
But we sort of knew about it. Imagine...
I'd never heard of it, Fat, if I'm honest.
No, you'd never heard of it, but your mindset.
I saw what they were doing.
As soon as they put that on there, you thought, that's where I want to take, if you like. Yeah. And so the wildebeest, though, watching BBC, right, would have looked at that and thought, oh, that's a killer drug.
Well, also, they'd look at it, it just makes us crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because BBC's telling them one thing, and Nutters like us are saying something else, and then the tinfoil hat wearers have just got a bit loopier than before. So I'm going to line up and get that jibber jabber.
So there's a horse wormer, right, that's anti-parasitical. And we would have given the animals down on the farm going back.
I think I heard somebody say it's the same thing, it's just a different dosage.
Well, no, there's one particular one called Fenbendazole. I think it's called Fenbendazole. Anyway, and I don't know if you remember, as Dad had, used to get them big tubes.
Yeah.
And he squirted it in the mouth. And he used to have us holding the mouths open, the cows and stuff like that. And that was a wormer, and that was what it was. That was Fenbendazole, or whatever it's called. And it's got anti-carcinogenic properties in it.
Hmm.
People have said they've cured themselves with it. Right. This is a drug that they give horses and humans, and give humans to it, humans it as well. So what I'm trying to say is, if that gets rid of parasites, right, and all pharmaceuticals are a eugenics crusade, why aren't they using that one on us if it's that dangerous? Look at all, so they won't use that on us because they say it's dangerous, but yet they'll give us an experimental vaccine because Bill Gates said.
Full speed ahead.
Yeah, and again, I keep coming back. You know that Mousetopia thing that we went on about the other week.
Yeah.
If you think about it, that is what we're living in, isn't it?
Hmm.
We're living in Mousetopia.
Well, you witness it in cities, in big cities, where everyone's acting a bit crazier, don't they? Mm-hmm. Every big major capital city you go to,
yeah,
you see slightly off kilter things happen that you wouldn't probably see anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Mousetopia, isn't it? They're too close together.
It is, yeah, yeah. But that ripples out to even areas like where I live, into middle of nowhere, because a lot of these people work in town centres or city centres and come back out into...
Well, I worked in the City of London for years. And
yeah.
Yeah. What did you think... You know that in the alternative media, the whole big discussion about April the 8th, which was yesterday, because there was that eclipse. You see, do you know what got me thinking, right? Because you know, you saw, you couldn't escape it, could you? In the conspiracy world, people saying something's going to happen because of the eclipse, blah blah. And do you know what I thought? No one's ever predicted a date of anything, have they?
No,
not as far as I've seen.
Very rare.
I mean, you can get predictions of what's going to happen because you can see where things are going, but it's very rare. Well, I can't actually think of one where someone's actually said a date, this is going to happen, and it happened.
No, like 9/11, people were saying they were going to do something and do something.
Yeah, you could feel that something was coming. I'm not saying that even with the COVID, you knew something. You could, I'm sure a lot of people listening could feel something.
You feel a build-up of something, yeah.
Build-up of something. Didn't know when, didn't know what it would be, but you knew something was going to happen, something dramatic. Mm. Every now and again, these dates pop up, don't they? It happens like at least a couple times a year, and everyone's sure that something's going to happen on that day. Something's going to happen. And it stresses people out. I suppose it stresses me out a little bit because my missus is when you think, God, is something. Then I got thinking about it. I thought, nothing's ever happened on a date that anyone said something's going to happen. In hindsight, you can find things like the 9/11 thing. You can see
that could be any day, even JFK, you know, 22nd to 11th, you know, all of these.
Like when the COVID, in hindsight, in media and stuff, you see the hints, don't you? But they were never really dates.
Yeah. It's only when you go backwards, isn't it, and look retrospectively.
Yeah. You see these hints and clues, but at the time, you don't really see them. No one sees them.
Well, these plans are so far advanced that unless we've got access to that planning, we're never going to know what, you know, they've probably got a diary mapped out that says, on that day in 50 years' time, we're going to do, you know, something like this.
Something was going to happen. Look at the police's 911 in America. You know, so something was going to happen. It was all there, but we only see it in hindsight, like I said. You don't see it before, the fact.
And what was that album cover when they turned it round?
For America,
There
were loads. There's loads, isn't there? Tons. I mean, people have done them at nauseam, haven't they? The different 9/11.
Simpsons things. And all this stuff.
All that stuff,
But, I mean, we're on the... Matt Bajerski, me and him were having a chat on his Truth Bomb podcast on Rumble yesterday. So go over to Max if you want to listen to that. And he was asking me about 2012. That were a similar thing, wasn't it?
Mm.
2012 were a similar thing.
Nothing happened. But
that doesn't mean to say that it's not a ritualistic date for these people.
Also,
you know? We're not saying that.
Also, we look at it like a film script, right? It doesn't mean something dramatic. It could be something, someone signed something, something's been put through, whatever, or something's been announced that we don't know about. So something could happen. Like the 2012 thing, the main cat, I think something did happen because
Is that the start of people starting to waking up, if you like?
I don't know. Is that, who knows? Didn't that happen in 9/11? Didn't that happen at Princess Diana? I don't.
But what I mean is, like the, what is it, year 2000 thing when they said everything, oh, planes were going to drop out of the sky. It's just, it's more of that, it's that guy walking around with a board saying the end is nigh, isn't it? Just fear-mongering.
It's the trauma-based fish tank that we're living.
Yeah, so I think these spells are put out by the same folk that are telling us all these lies. Just to, because they can stress out most people with, coronaviruses and jabs or whatever. But then us lot, we need to get stressed out by some date something's going to happen. So I think it's aimed at nutters like us, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I don't think it's aimed at some people like us, Chris. I think it means something to these, wherever they are, entities or
sins of gods,
leaders, whatever it is, yeah. But we can only look at the clues. Mm.
Well, all you can do is just be mentally prepared, you know.
Again, I keep going back. What would you have done any different in 2020? If you'd have known in 2019 what were going to happen?
No, nothing. There's nothing good to do. There's only one thing I'd have done, which I didn't go down to see Lou's family for Christmas because I bottled it because I actually thought there were going to be cops barricading the roads. I think that was Christmas number two in that.
But that just shows.
But it wasn't for like a reason. It was just that I had my daughter with me and I didn't want to freak her out. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it'd have been just you.
I won't give her a shit. Yeah.
Yeah. But I can't really look back and say that I would have done anything different. Me and Matt were having that conversation yesterday.
It's a very good point. Yeah, we've had it before. It's a very good point because you wouldn't. What could you have done?
4 years on, Chris, now. It's 4 years since. I remember used to drive over, pick my daughter up from Manchester. Nobody on the roads. If you ever drove on Christmas Day, it's quiet on Christmas Day. But... that were even quieter. There were nobody on the roads.
Well, in fact, I were working in a care home, which was 25 minutes drive from my house. Didn't see one car.
Yeah.
Bright sunny day, boiling hot. Didn't see anything. Mm. It was kind of exciting. I kind of enjoyed it in a weird.
Yeah, there was quite an exciting part. I tell you what made me sad. How easy it was for them. How easy.
Everyone rolled over.
In Britain, I'll use Britain as an example because we lived here, and the world allowed them to do it. It wasn't even a blink. 9/11 were a blink. If you blink, it were over, it were done. Half a day, this were weeks and months and a year and whatever. Yeah. And we're still seeing the ripples now with people wearing masks still out and about. But this, it's like it's forgotten about. People just want to, they don't even want to think they were anything anymore. Lockdown happened, when COVID hit, when...
During the
lockdown.
But then goes back to what we were talking about before, where a lot of English cities have been decimated through this. They were already getting decimated since 2008, when they had the crash or whatever bullshit that was.
Yeah.
But then they were decimated even more.
Well, at the beginning, possibly inspired by you watching that video of Huddersfield, which was, what were they called? Summit Turtle?
Oh, I've forgotten his name.
Travelling Turtle or something.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, who did the video.
Seems a nice lad.
Yeah, from Sobey Bridge, I think.
Yeah, someone said that.
From Halifax. But when you see stuff like that, I put a video together. The last Matrix one was about, I did it about California. Because there's a song by Leon Ware, How I Came to California. And so I put all the stuff on with Arnie and stuff like that on it. Mm. But that's not just about California. That's any town or city across the world now.
Why should there be a rise in homeless people when we're supposed to be getting richer and everything's getting better? Why is it a rise in sickness when we're supposed to be getting rich and everything's getting better?
Because when you sell a dream, that's what it is. Mm. And the reality of it all is Mad Max.
You've got to be asleep to believe it.
Yeah. And that, like we were saying last year, that's not saying that everything's bad.
No, you've got to play the game. You've got to play their game.
Yes.
You've got to ride the waves and try and stay positive and look after your family and your friends and stay positive, continue. I was saying to you the other day, I might mention this before, when I was working in the care homes, as that day, March was, I was working in, care homes, I was working in a university in Cambridge and the pub next door. And it was a brilliant time because I'd gone self-employed and I'd finish in the university, walk next door to the pub and do an evening shift there. And it was I was loving it because I was raking the cash in. It was brilliant. And I was working in the university one day and they said, oh, we don't need it for the rest of the week. We're going to close. And I went to the pub and they said, we don't need you this weekend. We're going to close. And I'm thinking, shite.
What am I going to do?
But I was asking a guy in the university, it was an old Polish guy's kitchen porter. And I was saying to him, because you knew what was going on. I said, what did you used to do in communist Poland? I'm thinking of extremes here. Where's it going? What did you do in communist Poland? You know, because he was older than me. And he's like, well, you know, one guy's a painter, another guy's a butcher. You swap him a tin of paint for some chicken.
Yeah.
And I thought, it kind of cheered me up. And I thought, is this where it's going? Is it black market time? Mm-hmm. Is that what's going to happen? And I mean, I was thinking the worst and the best and every scenario. Because people like us were working out every scenario in your head, weren't
we? Well, I said to my missus, I said, as long as we've got a roof over his head,
yeah,
and we can eat some of it,
yeah,
that's all that counts. And we've got exactly. water.
Rest
that's
of it. That, exactly.
At that point when they locked everything down, I thought, and you know, having business and stuff like that, I've acquired quite a bit and all that type of shit. None of it means anything. It's all, yeah. it doesn't mean anything. I thought it did 25 years ago, but I realised it didn't. Yeah, and I think we've all been through that process.
That is absolutely right. It got to that point where you just think, right, as long as we can feed ourselves and got a roof over our head, the rest of it can go and screw itself. Don't care about holidays. I didn't care about, I literally thought I was never going to the pub or to the cinema again. It's like going to the cinema.
Without mental options, without any options, right? If you're willing to go back to that line and have nothing, not to... We knew they were going to try and force a jab on you.
Mm.
And I would never going to have that. No.
I've got that written in a diary somewhere. When I was working that one specific care home, I used to take a journal with me and I'd listen to the news on the way there, listen to it on the way back. And you could predict, and I remember us talking about they're going to try and jab everybody. Yeah. And I think it was about a month before, maybe 3 weeks before. And then I wrote in it, they've actually started to mention the jib jab.
I mean, in fairness, Chris, I were talking about this. This is the one thing that turned me onto this, the realisation that it were happening or something was going to happen, is the ramp up to how they were trying to force people to get jabbed all around the world.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I saw that with my nipper.
And then there was the ID 2020 and all this other stuff. And you realise that's what they were going to bring in. I didn't realise they were going to do it so radically like this. I thought it was going to be a slow process and you were going to have a choice and all this type of stuff. Not a choice as in, they were going to try and force you. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Actually lock the whole world down.
Exactly, yeah. And the way they did it, it's like I saw Greta Thunberg getting arrested again, right? I should have said be acting for the cameras. It's weird how every time she gets arrested, there's... Awesome. Better than Princess Kate's video where it's done shot on a 1960s camera or whatever. These are proper, high definition videos of her smiling with coppers, pretending to get having in a grip with, them gloves on and Robocop gloves and knee pads on. You know, she's 3 foot 6. She's 3 foot 6 with Asperger's. What the fuck's she going to do to him, right? There's five of them around her smiling.
And also... Even if you were the cops, you'd be like, don't search Chase Greta Thunberg, it's not worth it. In reality.
You wouldn't arrest her, would you?
No.
You wouldn't arrest her. Alone.
You'd arrest everyone around her and everybody
else. George Soros rung you up and said, it's some money in the bank if you arrest her.
Horse shit.
Yeah, absolutely. why is she allowed it? Right, David Icke is banned from all European countries, never been arrested.
Yeah.
Right,
but she can
she's
swan
been
around.
Arrested in Germany, France, or all over Europe.
How does
now.
She get to these countries in a paddle boat?
She walks barefoot.
Barefoot.
Yeah. Across borders. Unless there's a Rothschild yacht going, then she'll go across on that. It's made out of carbon, as Lance pointed out.
I'm surprised there isn't a. Hollywood film about Greta Thunberg at the moment. I'm surprised.
Don't say that. I'm sure there will be. I'm surprised there isn't a Netflix series out about it.
Well, they did make a documentary and the cameras just happened to be there when she sat outside of school for the first time.
Yeah.
How they predicted that she was going to be sat outside of school. So if I'd have sat outside...
Somebody can't string two words together. She's got a full script.
If I'd have sat outside Saladin Nook School in Huddersfield with a board saying blah, 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 would have anyone had a video camera on me? I'd have got my head stuffed in.
Yes. Yeah. I know. Stop eating whatever at school. You'd have got your head kicked in.
Yeah.
But anyway, what I'm trying to say there, that the police there, they're not pepper spraying her. They're not, you know, like they were in, they're not water cannoning her.
No.
You know, like they were in Australia, where they were shooting them rubber bullets or whatever it were at people.
She's got gas canisters. And she'll be out now. She'll have been out in minutes for nothing.
She won't have even gone anywhere, Chris, will she?
No. Just walked past the cameras.
Like this. Right, cameras. Yeah. Put her in back of a van. Right, drive down the road and get her out.
Like those knobheads in galleries that get to throw paint on stuff. Like, nothing happens. Yeah. Nothing happens. Is it? Nothing ever happens. Just a camera.
In a normal world, somebody would go up to their arm, right? Is your arm glued to that wall? Yeah. Rip it off. All the skin comes off the bottom of the palm, right? And just kicks them out into the street.
Yeah. Just to mention that you mentioned the Kate Middleton shenanigans. Isn't it funny, right? I don't know if we mentioned this last time, that no, since she made that apparent appearance on that bench and said she had cancer, everyone's just stopped talking about it.
Yes.
I brought did I bring that up last time? Where
you brought it, but it's a totally different angle, is that? Because you mentioned,
I mentioned it at work.
2 weeks ago that some lads from work said to you about, so it looks like a load of bollocks, that, because they don't look real, them pictures. Yeah. Then she sat on that park bench.
Saying she got cancer.
With that jumper she'd had since... for the last 10 years ago or whatever.
Vanishing and reappearing ring. Yeah. And I went into work and mentioned, oh, what do you think of the new Kate thing? And two friends of mine both went, oh no, but you don't mention that, because she's got Big C and she's got kids and that. So that conversation then has vanished because she said she has the Big C and she came out and said it. But I brought it up again with my mate at work and I said, do you not think it's weird that since he went out and said that the whole story has vanished and no one's now talking about it, because they feel guilty, because people are nice people and they feel guilty talking about someone who might have cancer in that conspiratorial way. Well, those conspiracy nut jobs couldn't give a flying shite about...
Well, it's not that we couldn't give a flying shite. What we don't like is being lied to.
And these people...
And we're willing to look at...
Every angle.
A video, right? And not just look at it, analyse it, right? And some people are good at that. I'm not that good at that. But some people are good at looking at videos. But we can all use it. Again, we're talking to somebody.
But also, you get an instinct for it. When you see these things, you get an instinct. Like,
good word.
I showed it my missus, and she went, she's got a wig on. Now, I immediately thought, is it a wig, or is it the fact that they're using that as a frame to frame a deep fake? Anyway, doesn't matter. Yeah. It was bullshit, wasn't it?
Because
she hasn't been seen still since Christmas.
I know. So
and... So, just two fake videos.
The only thing we've seen of her is that fake video where she got 25 fingers or whatever it was. Her arms were longer than other. Whatever it is, right? She had Mr. Tickle arms. And the one where she sat on that park bench, the real park bench has got more slats on it than that park bench, and they're a lot thinner.
And her ring's vanishing and reappearing, et cetera, and all that stuff. And she's
But you mentioned instinct there. And ironically, we're having a conversation with...
This is what they do not want you to follow anymore. Your gut feeling, your instinct.
Your senses.
Your senses. Just...
Yeah.
You can look at something and go, nah, not buying it. Which we're very good at these days, I think. Most people probably listen to this.
We're willing to look at it and be wrong and say, you know, I got that wrong. Right? Yeah. Or most people are who listen to it. But instinct senses, I was talking to somebody at kids' football the other day, one at mothers and fathers, and we got talking about stuff. And I said, the problem is we've had the kids have had the senses taken off them, and we as humans have had the senses taken off them. And they were actually understanding that. You know, I said the Black Mirror, the phone that we carry around with us, and also the society we live in where... Right, I want something to eat. Shall I cook something? Shall I go do something? No, I'll...
Deliveroo
up. I need to go somewhere. Where's that place now? I'll just go in an Uber. You can just app it. Everything's on an app.
Well, so, also, you can see where that is crescendoing to, can't you?
Of course you can, yeah. You just... What you've done is hand over... I mean, we've been handing over jurisdiction for years, you know, even to doctors and things like that. But this is the ultimate handover to technology, isn't it? As at that video of Aldous Huxley said. You know, where we're now going to be run by technology.
Well, look at it like this, Fire.
I played that black and white video, didn't I?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at it like this. If the internet went down, how would it affect you? Put it like that. It'd affect us. It'd affect me.
It affects everybody.
It'd affect everybody. I've got a business on the internet. So have you. You know, so it would affect you.
But that was given to us free by Tim Berners-Lee.
Yeah.
Whose mum and dad worked on Enigma Code.
Yeah. But now we're all weirdly paying £25 a month for it. Some fucking airwaves.
Yeah, yeah. But as instincts and as senses, again, and that's the whole thing, going back to Mariana Spring and people like that, what these are, they question your reality. So if you think, oh, no, that certainly happened, I saw it. Ah, but you might not have done because of this. And they put little spanners in the works so you think, like your friends at work say, yeah, we need to leave that alone now because
but
you know,
that isn't their decision. They've been manoeuvred into that decision. It's not their decision. They haven't decided that.
No,
it's because they feel bad about criticizing someone who's got kids and possibly got cancer. Fair enough. I can understand that. We don't stop at that point. You continue to question.
A bit like right.
This is interesting.
The damage that the modern life. And we mentioned ADHD and stuff like that the other day. Mm. And one of the delivery drivers who comes to deliver stuff, I won't mention who he works for or anything like that, he's got a tattoo on his arm saying, my son's got autism.
Right.
Right? Yeah. I don't know why.
I can understand why, because what he's saying is he's saying he's still proud of his son. And he's letting you know, I'm not, there's no
however,
shame.
However, yeah. Right? If you had a tattoo saying, my daughter hasn't got autism, What I'm trying to say is,
my brother's a knobhead.
Yeah, my brother. What I'm trying to say is, and I'm not knocking anybody who's got autism. We've discussed this.
Yeah.
I mean, my son had epilepsy from the MMR jab. Right. I know that. I can trust my senses on that one.
Yeah.
He was fortunate because he sort of got over that side of it.
But again, you shouldn't trust your instincts. You should listen to the telebox telling you that it's got nothing to do with any jibber jab.
But what I'm trying to say there is right that. They're now having to celebrate that they've injured your child. Mm. And you're celebrating the fact that you were party to doing it.
Yeah, ultimate satanic twisteroo.
Yeah, because there's no way, and how difficult is it for a parent to say, well, I've just said that I was part of giving my son a vaccine.
But you're open to admit, most folk won't.
Now, I know I was lied to, and I know he had that with the best intention. Right, but doesn't change the fact that I signed that Rumpelstiltskin contract.
Mm. Well, my son, Sebu, same age as your Jacob, who had epilepsy, he's got a stutter, which has kind of gone away as he's got older.
Yeah,
but it's neurological. It's the same.
Of course, it's the same thing. Yeah,
same thing.
Yeah, and you know anyway, what we're trying to say, I'm not ridiculing that man. That man.
No, no, absolutely
why he's got
not.
That. He's proud of his child.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
I understand all that, and he loves his kids. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not what
But
I'm
when
saying.
You look at what's happened over the last 4 years, and you think back to the 90s, how many fucking people got trounced that?
I was talking, again,
you
I was
can't
talking,
even begin
a,
to imagine.
I was talking to somebody who was a doctor, and he said, over the last few years, since like the nonsense, how many kids have been born now with issues? They were telling me it were off the scales.
When they were pushing it on pregnant women.
Yeah.
Yeah, you fucking mind. Out of your mind. I said to you before, I've listened to people damaged in my, and before the nonsense and about the jib jab damage, before, you know, when I obviously decided not to have I mentioned this loads of times, but mentioned not to have my nipper tapped with anything. And it was hard. It was hard, even though I was 100%.
It is hard.
The pressure is so unbelievable. And then, you watch these people who've been damaged, and it brings tears to your eyes. And you just think the state is doing this to them.
Yeah.
You know, and they have done for years. We just made it blatantly obvious during the nonsense, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. But they've been doing this for literally over 100 years.
Well, longer. We've seen those pictures. I put some pictures on Instagram of like old cartoons and drawings of people not wanting, you know, jabs as they were then. So none of that's in the news, is it? None of that's mentioned the historical like pushback of jib jabs.
No.
You don't see any of that there anywhere.
But well, that's
was,
why you know.
It was historical going right back to 1800s.
But that's why you know you don't get a balanced view of it. And that's why it is like Hunger Games. It is like all these dystopian films that you've watched. The media aren't what we perceive as journalists anymore. All they're there for is to
regurgitate,
funnel down the MK Ultra to you.
Yeah.
And anyway, I'm going to play this video of Bill Gates. It just reminded me when we were talking about that, about kids being tapioca'd. I'm just going to play this.
This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. That's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. The world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, healthcare, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3. The second factor is the services we use. This encompasses...
It's funny, actually, talking about that, because that was doing the rounds in the conspiratorial world, I suppose, before...
I was the nonsense, wasn't it? Yeah.
Well, what year did that come out for?
First video I did, I think it was mid-2010s, it was like 2016, yeah. I think.
Because that was one of those alarm videos.
Might have been earlier.
That was crazy fuckers were passing around, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, so it might have been earlier than that.
Look at this.
But isn't it ironic how he said that they were at 6.7 billion. Now, whether that's true or not, I'm not, don't hold me to the what that fucking twat said. and it's going to get up to 9 billion. How does he know it's going to get up to 9 billion? Why can't, when's it going to, he didn't say when it's going to get up to, what I'm trying to say is, they knew that the ceiling is going to be around 9 billion people. Mm-hmm. Then it's going to drop backwards. If they do all those things.
If we're good with vaccines and blah, blah.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't have to be clever to work out where he's going with that.
And also, they sold, if you remember, they tried selling that speech there as though he'd foreseen COVID happening.
Yeah. Well, because he was fucking ultimately involved. probably packing up the jib-jabs then.
Yeah. Anybody... Anyway, you know, how people can look up to these people, I've got a brother-in-law who does. An email that a retired detective, I suppose he is, emailed us in. I won't mention any names or like that. Says, I typed this with a heavy heart between 1980 and 2010. I've edited this, by the way. I'm not going to read the full one out, otherwise it's been going on for hours. I was a police officer in London. I started with the Met Police Force and ended up with the Metropolitan Service, Police Service, from PC up to Detective Superintendent. I worked on serious crime, the Serious Crime Directorate, dealing with murders, so I've dealt with death and aftermath. I could write a book. Part of my career featured in a book, actually. As a Detective Chief Inspector, I returned to Hackney in 2003 and was chair of the borough's multi-agency police protection panel, known as MAP. I led literally hundreds of young detectives. My last post was head of crime training at Detective Superintendent. Well, so what? What's the point? Get on with it. Guys, in the whole 30-year window, the question of vaccine damage, I'm presuming he's meaning vaccine damage via death, was never, ever considered.
Right.
So I suppose he meant any death that he'd been to of a kid or whatever.
Ah, right, yeah. Was never, well, it wasn't, was it?
They looked
was,
at the parents, didn't they?
Yeah. Shaking baby syndrome and deaths and mattresses. Like we've said before, in the early 90s, when there was a massive spate of cot deaths, we've mentioned before, and that was when our sons were born. Yeah. And I remember shitting myself because he was saying it were mattresses, pillows, it was the way everything. They were sleeping, everything. I ran into it.
Didn't have if you had curtains drawn, or if you... We're in gardening or out like that, but it was nearly as bad as that.
No, it was. It was a massive thing. And I ran Seb to the hospital in the middle of the night once because I think he literally went, I was like, you know, and he just said, it's fine.
I actually found that video of, you know, we were talking the other day. And I'm going to play it, but I'm only going to play a bit of it.
Finish this story, though, Fai.
Yeah. Yeah. So with a heavy heart, I look back on an amazing career that was full of ignorance, didn't we all, mate? You know, it doesn't matter what. I presume in a profession, we weren't professionals in, like say, Mike Eden, for argument's sake, or Norman Fenton, who were professionals in that area. This chap here is a professional in his area
as
well.
He's a copper. He's a detective. He's not thinking...
I would have said, when he went into being a copper, that you went, at that particular point, you went in because you wanted to make a difference.
Well, like most industries, there's one, you go in it to make money, you go in it because you want to make a difference, and you go in it for the bravado, like you know, for your ego, I suppose. Yeah. Same with chefing, like I'm a chef, you know, you could go in it for your ego, you could go in it for money, or you go in it for that you actually like cooking. I like cooking. And to earn money, obviously.
You like feeding people.
Yeah, I do. That's what I realised. I don't really... I went through a really weird phase in the, I'd say 2000, because, you know, the whole...
Where you wore those crotchless undies with studs in?
No, but the whole celebrity chef thing, and I've mentioned this before, where it became a competitive, like, you know, you're passionate. Why did it turn like that? Why did it have to be turned into, like, this negative competitive sport instead of
everything?
Just being... Yeah, everything. I mean, even pottery now, and everything. Anyway,
ice skating.
Yeah, ice skating, ballroom dancing. You're fired. You're out. You're shit. and shouldn't it all be? It's like any art form. Shouldn't it all be objective? You know, whether it's good or bad.
You can't even walk through a jungle anymore without boiling a tarantula.
Yeah. Unless you've got a pair of tarantula's knackers hanging out your mouth. Anyway, this fella should feel no guilt for this because we were all bamboozled, weren't we?
Isn't that the point of it all?
Yeah.
The point of it all is at some point that you hopefully realise I won't call it an error because
it's not an error. No,
if somebody's been lying to you all your life, how are you meant to work it out?
And the biggest pill to swallow is, as we've discussed before, that the state that you pay your taxes to once you're dead or ill.
Yeah. Oh, they're the enemy.
Well, we're their enemy. We're not. Yeah. No one's my enemy, but they've declared us their enemy.
They've declared war.
They want to kill us, or you know, spiritually trounce you, or have you ill, costing money. And even though the NHS was apparently free, you're still paying for it. So you're paying for your own demise by taking a fucking evil drug. It's true, though, isn't it?
Yeah. It is. Someone's saying here, and this is. Pretty true, actually. Last week, in a 2 or 3 day period, three or four people told me, you know, three people had died. One lad was telling me about an old guy who comes and does my garden for me, gives him something to do. He said we had a bad night last night. One of the guys at Domino's, they found him in his house with remote control in his hand. 67 he was. This guy's in his 80s who does my garden, comes round to the house. Somebody else then told me a similar thing. Somebody rung me up and told me that their auntie's got big C. It's just on and on and on. And then somebody sent this email in about two people at work. Former colleague said, you know, they're off. Somebody's got a ruptured aorta. I mean, when did you ever hear this sort of stuff?
Or what about that one? Someone sent to me, anonymous guy sent it to me. I mean, I don't watch football, but it was some football club and they had a minute silence because four of the ex-players had died within
Luton.
2 weeks. Was it Luton? I think 17 days, like
But not only that, their captain was the guy that collapsed twice on the pitch.
I'm not laughing at that. But
no, but it's the...
It's insanity.
Well, he collapsed at, I think it was at Wembley in the playoff final last year. And then he did it just before Christmas. Again, I'm saying
the
captain of Luton.
Pitch.
He's in his 20s.
Right, all right.
And he's collapsed twice.
I get confused with manager and captain sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
Bloody hell.
So he's in his mid-20s, Chris.
You have these little flashes, don't you, of this information, which I suppose, like, for instance, put us back to the 90s, right, about the jib-jabs that had effects on people. We didn't see it, so you don't see it, do you? You're in a level of denial. Yeah. And I don't know, you have these little flashbacks to the summer, for instance, when we had a barbecue at our house and my missus's workmates were around and they were all saying, I don't know what's going on with people, everyone's just dropping and ill. Yeah. And blah, blah. it's these little nuances, these little flashes in it, and like those football four guys dead in 2 weeks. Mm. These things didn't happen. Mm. You can explain it away as much as you want. The NHS is busy. Bullshit. Yeah. It did not happen.
But look at this headline. Britain faces worst sickness crisis since 1990s. As millions quit workforce, it's a legacy of the pandemic. Blamed as illness-related inactivity climbs to 2.7 million.
What happened in the 1990s?
I don't know. Nothing, probably. Again, who's going to think back to the 1990s?
Yeah. Well, I mean, there was
a They'll come up with a graph, won't they?
Yeah. Well, was it? There was a lot of...
Well, unemployment, wasn't there? But is it, because...
But it's 1990s. No, yeah, like I said, you can't look back.
When in 1990s, though? Yeah. Since the 19... You know, they didn't say 1991, did they?
It's a 10-year... It's a decade, yeah.
2 decades? 3 decades?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, yeah. So no, what I mean is there was a decade in the 1990s. What happened?
Can you remember last week when you were talking about Paddy McGuinness?
Mm.
And he said he was interviewed on a park bench. Mm. Well, I found the video and I edited it down to when he was talking about what he said. Mm. It is quite an interesting listen. I did do quite a lot of research on this. He sent me down a rabbit hole, but I just want to listen to the... You can hear the going back to the chap who's got the tattoo on his arm.
Mm.
Yeah, you can hear the pain in this man's voice.
Yeah,
because this man's got 3 children, and he can't do anything for them.
And also, he wants answers.
But the people he's going to, are they wrong? It's like going to the hello, Satan. Can you just give me some answers on why that you?
Yeah.
What are you expecting them either to tell you the truth or tell you what the regurgitated truth is or whatever it is?
Like going to Bill Gates asking why your jib jab damaged.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, I'll play this.
So I'm at Cambridge to meet Professor Simon Baron Cohen, who's the director of the Autism Research Centre. There's a lot of really off-colour things out there about cures for autism. And I got bogged down in all that because, you know, you can be brought down to your lowest ebb with it all.
The way I sometimes explain it to people is because it's the result of how your brain develops.
Yeah.
We know that some people are left-handed, some people are right-handed.
Yeah.
And that's the result of how your brain develops. So autism is a bit like that, a little bit more complex.
Yeah.
And if kids can just say, OK, I'm autistic, you know, and if everyone's just reacting as no big deal.
Yeah. With the genetics, I've got 3 children with autism.
Right.
But they're all totally different.
Yeah.
Same parents. So why has that happened?
Right. And I suppose the simple answer is that a lot of our genes are just inherited.
Right.
But it's almost like a random shuffle that happens at the point of conception. What we know is that there's at least 100 genes that have been already been found that are associated with autism.
When I were researching it back in the dark days,
yeah,
people talking about, you know, vaccines can be a factor in it. You know?
It's one of the myths,
yeah,
that as scientists we're still trying to get the message out that that's actually not true.
Yeah. Even me, who I like to feel as though I'm a pretty kind of level-headed person,
yeah,
questioned it. I questioned why did they have that vaccine when they were babies?
Yeah.
Because I couldn't, again, talking to you now about genetics and everything else,
yeah,
it makes so much sense. But back then...
Yeah. You know, if a doctor somewhere says it could be the vaccine, you kind of latch onto it. But that's why it's important that we can talk about the science behind it. It helps to dispel some of these myths.
What a fucking prick. Do you have to have that little fucking, like, Brian Cox whistle to be serious and to listen to?
First of all, never take him serious because he looks like a lizard, right?
Fucking rat cunt. Excuse me, French.
Right. I would never take him serious, right? That's what I picked up on there because his explanations, none of them made sense.
They were nothing. They were no explanations of nothing.
Well, it's like being genetics. He's either left-handed or right-handed. Well, no, that's not true because what he's not answering is if... 100 years ago, 1 in 100 people had it, right? And now it's 2 out of 4, or whatever it is. And so much changed.
It's genetics.
Yeah. So much changed.
Oh, God.
And that were longer. It were even more of a wind-up. Because he said, I've studied this for 30 years and I still don't understand it. But he's an expert on it and he didn't understand it.
No, but the fact that he's put in that he studied for 30 years means he's as good at it as you can get. And that's it. So it's he's genetics. It's not the jib-jab ever. It's never the jib-jab. It's not. It's the genetics.
Yeah.
So you and your wife, it's your fault and your wife's fault.
Because of your genetics.
Because of your genetics.
It can't be Jab's fault.
It's nothing to do with in fairness, someone pumping some poison into your fucking bloodstream.
Paddy McGuinness there, right?
I feel it's horrible.
It's horrible. But he was uncomfortable asking that guy about vaccines. Well, how's it got to that point?
Yeah.
If you went for a meal and you had a piece of fish and it tasted like dog shit.
Or he threw your guts up.
Yeah. You wouldn't
question the meal.
You wouldn't hesitate for a second.
It'd be in newspapers, fact.
It wouldn't hesitate for a second that it were that.
It'd be in the newspapers. That
prawn curry that caused it or whatever it were. Yeah. It wouldn't, would it?
No. But you're not allowed to question that at all. Anything, right, that you're not allowed to discuss or question, alarm bells for me. I'm sorry.
Yes. Again, them senses and intuition start rattling. Yeah. But you think about it. I reckon that whole film there use those two people right to highlight that he can't possibly be
whether that doctor believes vaccines. It whatever he was, you know, maybe he does believe it, I don't know. But did
you notice his name?
Yeah, Cohen.
Baron Cohen,
right?
Telling me he's a cousin of Sacha Baron Cohen,
right? Why not?
I'm going to do a full release on that one at some point.
That's interesting. But like something I think we have discovered, right, while doing these things, what we do is that these families, they cover every angle, don't they? Whether it's authors, musicians, actors, doctors, scientists, da, 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 da. Often it's the same family group doing the same thing, but then often they cover every angle. Look at the Johnsons.
Yeah.
Journalists. Politicians, da 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 da. You know, how does that happen?
I don't know.
But it's evident
but it does.
That these families are.
Well, Susan Mickey is another example. Tim Berners-Lee is another one. His brother is a climate change expert. The Attenboroughs, but same. Apart from that one brother who didn't like him, he split off from him.
Yeah. But any of these politicians that are involved in the climate change. One of the brothers won't be a bus driver or something.
No.
Guaranteed.
Nobody's a plumber.
No one's a plumber. But we in real life, that's what happens. You know, one guy, I ended up being a chef. You did your businesses, whatever, and I make sculptures. You know, you don't... I mean, families do go down the same road, like you said. A family of doctors or a family of nurses, for instance. You know, that does happen. But these, they just spring. Sacha Baron Cohen, comedian, and like I said before, he did a show on Amazon talking about like basically ridiculing conspiracies. So he's been used for that. And then you think of that UN speech he did talking about freedom of speech. That's not what a comedian we should be saying. He did a speech talking about how freedom of speech shouldn't be allowed.
Have you found that one?
I'll have to have a look for it. Maybe I dreamt it, but I'm sure I've seen Sacha Baron Cohen.
I know he did that dictator one. which were slightly different, but it were very tongue in cheek. That and the research I've done, we'll see that. I'm going to first do that at the live event. Actually, all that stuff. I've called the talk "No Plumbers Allowed."
Right. To time with Mark stuff as well.
Yeah, to time with some Mark stuff. Just take me a bit further down the hole, if you like. But anyway, we're coming up to that hour mark, sadly. It's gone in a blink.
It's gone in a blink.
Yeah, it does. Okay, we're going to wrap up there. If you're going to join us in hour two, we'll see you there. If not, we will see you next week. Take it easy. Have a good week and a good weekend. And don't email me about not being able to log in.
Bye. Bye.
Be a part sky.